fighting the good fight of faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
So very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we at Abounding Grace Radio are always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And so we do encourage your prayerful and financial support. Our mailing address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Remember that we are a listener-supported program, and we need your prayerful and financial support to keep these broadcasts coming to you. Well, we're continuing this week our study in the seven churches of Revelation, and today we come to the church in Sardis. Now, you remember, each of these churches, very important to study for our day. Unfortunately, these churches have been preached and taught as if they belong to a particular age of the church, particular time that's coming in the church, a stage of the church, and that is an incorrect way of teaching these churches. These churches are speaking to, they symbolically represent all the churches of Jesus Christ and the struggles, the tribulation they are in this present evil age. Sardis, let me begin by this. I was reading recently some descriptions of churches in our local phone book, and it again was interesting to see how churches describe themselves. One church said, and I quote, "Casual, welcoming, modern music, a sermon you can understand, kid and teen friendly," to which I thought to myself, I wonder what a kid and teen hostile church would look like. Another said, "The home of the old time religion," and I wondered what year that was that defined that. Another claimed to be the friendliest church in town. Another, and I quote, "was a reconciling in Christ congregation, welcoming all people without regard to gender, ethnicity, race, economic, social status, or sexual orientation." To which I thought, I wonder if repentance fits in that picture. Dynamic worship. Really? What defines that? One church called themselves Spirit-filled, a life-giving congregation. I thought, wow, that's something that Christ himself says that he does. Everyone is trying to make themselves, every church, stand out and offer the best. So this is my question. This is my challenge this week on Abounding Grace as we study the church in Sardis. What do you think makes for an alive church? Or what constitutes a dead one? What has been so moving to me about this study in Revelation is that almost everything that is esteemed by Christians today of what makes up a faithful church is confronted by Christ as false. A very interesting thing to consider in our day. This is really one of the most important churches that we have studied because it really makes us consider what Christ defines and how Christ defines a church that is alive. And so I'm again confronted with the truth of what we considered last week when Jesus said, "What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The reason this is so important today is because we approach an entirely different issue when it comes to the church in Sardis. While Pergamos and Thyatira were slacking in their mission to their own body, there were still some works of commendation that Jesus gave to those churches. But when we come to Sardis, there's nothing by way of praise. And if we think back to Ephesus, where our Lord warns them of the fact that they are leaving their first love, we saw at least that there was quite a bit of spiritual life still left in them. But when it comes to Sardis, really, there's nothing good that Jesus has to say about them. It was a church that indeed was lifeless. It was a church that was hanging on by a thread. And what an amazing and tragic thing to think about, that this is not some person in the community calling a church a dead church. This is the Lord Jesus Christ confronting one of the churches that serves in his name as being dead. So what defines that? Well, my sole burden here on Abounding Grace is that we would be discerning, that we would have the mind of Christ when it comes to his church. Remember, Christ is among his church. He's not with these people who today toss out the church and are not involved in the church and say who they don't need the church. They've rejected the very body for which he has died, and they are in sin. That's not what we're talking about. We are looking at Christ walking among his churches and looking at the churches that are not being faithful in their ministries with the goal of correcting and training and instructing the churches in righteousness that we might be churches that fulfill the Great Commission. So let's unpack this week the church in Sardis. We know that the city's history itself was one of pride and pomp. Sardis was an ancient city, even known in its own history for its gold. It was obviously a very beautiful city, as excavations have uncovered impressive buildings and temples. Its known wealth may have had something to do with the condition of the church. There was a massive earthquake that hit it in AD 17, and it completely leveled the city. Emperor Tiberius sent all sorts of money for its rebuilding, and it became known after that as one great and beautiful city. In fact, the Greeks knew it as the greatest of all the cities. It was busy with trade and had all sorts of roads through it. It sat at the foot of a large mountain in a fertile valley, so it was very wealthy and very beautiful, a wonderful place to live. And that really speaks to the situation of the church. Christ begins by saying, "To the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Now you'll remember the very explanation at the beginning included the description of the spirit as the sevenfold spirit and the seven stars as the angels or the pastors of the seven churches. Now we're going to come back to this. But it's the Spirit who gives life to the church. It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He is the one who in his sevenfold fullness and his sevenfold completeness and his glory, he is the one that determines the vitality of the church. And so he singles out Sardis in such a different way than all the others to remind them that he walks among them. Jesus has a message for their pastor. And dear pastors, if there are any pastors listening this week on Abounding Grace, Jesus has a message for you, and Jesus has a message for me. We are held to a very high standard. Jesus says, "I have the sevenfold Spirit." That's where the life comes. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. And so you're already getting a sense of what happened to the church in Sardis. "I know," says Jesus, "what's happening to the life of your church." Let's unpack that. Here's what he says in verse 1. "I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." Aside from Laodicea, I really don't come across anything stronger than that. The church in Sardis, of all of the churches, I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to think about this today. It had the greatest name. "I know that you have a name, that you are alive." To understand that, you really have to ask, what would, from a human perspective, determine what church has the greatest name among us? You ever thought about that? In your communities, right where you are, if you were to open up the phone book, what church would have the greatest name among the peoples? In other words, even in our town, even in Linden, they just published a Whatcom directory of churches. And if you were to thumb through those, what do you think would mark a church that is being alive, that is alive, or a church that is dead? What is the church to really be reckoned with? Well, it would be a church, according to our standards today, that is well regarded by everyone, right? I mean, this just goes even with personal names. Who has the greatest name? Who determines that? Well, everyone knows that in our culture, the greatest name is tied to one thing. It is success, isn't it? If I'm looking out in the secular world of business, what names in our culture are going to stand out? It's the Fortune 500 names. It's Donald Trump. Well, Jesus says among the world and even among the churches, this church in Sardis had the greatest name. This church would have been known as the most happening church. It was well regarded in the city. It was known as being full of vitality. And I'm sure this was a prosperous city. I'm sure this church had in this prosperous city the most resource, the most revenue. People would have said, wow, that church in Sardis has the most resource. Look at all that's going on there. There's a lot going on in that church. They have every imaginable program for everyone. Look at how many activities are going on. I suggest of all the churches in Revelation of the seven churches, that number-wise, this was the largest of all the churches. They had many talents. They had much money. Everything outwardly looked, when you looked at the church in Sardis and you looked at the building projects and you look at what was going on, everything indicated this thing was bursting. You know, what would we call today? What would we in our church environment today consider to be a spirit-filled church? You ready for this? Here's what really gets me about this, dear listener. If there was a problem in a church like Sardis, what might we expect? Well, by now in our study of Revelation, we realize how much doctrine means to our Lord. So if I'm thinking about this church, you know, I'm probably thinking, well, if there is a problem, it's got to be its doctrine. It's got to be lacking. It's got to have a lack of true doctrinal integrity and a lot of doctrinal issues. I mean, this means so much to our Lord. Doctrine, the truth, the gospel. We have no idea. And churches today that say they are not doctrinal, or they don't preach doctrine, or they just unite and they're not worried about doctrine, here's my admonition to you. Run. Get out of there as fast as you can. Doctrine is everything. What we believe is everything. Jesus died for standing upon the truth. So, what amazes me about the church in Sardis? I would expect, you know, if there is a problem, that it would be a doctrinal issue. And yet, I don't read any charge of it. In other words, false teaching was not on the radar. They condemned it. You never heard anything unorthodox. It's a good church. What a moment. Now put this together today. We'll come back this week and unpack this. Put this together. This church has a name. Everyone knows it. Powerful, big, busting, booming church. It is busy. No false doctrine. But what's the reality, dear listener? Christ says something shocking. The Lord of the church, the God of all glory, he says, I know what's going on, and all the doing of your works seems to indicate that you are alive. But here's the truth. You are dead. They were a spiritual morgue. They were a spiritual graveyard. Now, this is shocking stuff, especially in our culture where we are taught to measure vitality by numbers. Whatever looks the best, whatever sounds the best, whatever offers the most must be alive. And you see, if you're going to make any kind of assessment about the church, as we are called to do, it requires a lot more discernment than that. Jesus is calling us to much more discernment, to test the spirits to see whether they be of God. So this week we are going to unpack this church. We're going to learn from this church. This is not to bash every other church. It's to look at where we are attending, where I attend, and ensure that we are doing the work of the Holy Spirit to the praise and glory of His grace with sincere hearts. Jesus Christ, dear listener, is the Lord of the church. Let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are thankful to bring these broadcasts to you. We are listener supported. We need your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.